you like movies? Then Netflix is the place for you. Would you like to support this podcast? Use the red stamp-shaped Netflix affiliate banner link in the show notes at TruckerTomPodcast.com for a free trial and instantly begin streaming movies right to your computer or TV set-top box.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Tango Tango Papa 1472, February 23rd, 2011.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Interstate 77 in Virginia. I spent the night last night near Wytheville, Virginia, and so I got up this morning and drove on down to or wherever it was I was going. It's right on the tip of my tongue, in North Carolina, Garner, North Carolina, and pretty quickly got unloaded, and then they sent another load that was at nearby Raleigh, North Carolina, just a few miles away. Garner's kind of, there's this area, Raleigh-Durham, let me turn that down, Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. And so that's sort of a, there's a bunch of other little towns that are sort of in that metropolitan area. I think they call it the Golden Triangle. So in any case, you know, it was like 9 miles away in Raleigh, where I, it turned out it was a drop and hook where I picked this load up I have now. And this load is going to, it delivers in Joliet, Illinois. It's to deliver there early in the morning on the 24th. So today was the 22nd, so I have the 23rd, and then supposed to deliver it at 7 a.m. in Joliet, Illinois on the 24th. So let's see, today was Monday or Tuesday. I don't know what day's which. I kind of get the days mixed up. I guess today was Tuesday, perhaps. But so in any case, I, in order, it's like 800 and something miles. So in order to make that, I'm going to go ahead and drive until about I don't know. I can drive until 11:30 this evening, and so I'm going to try to drive until at least, I don't know, probably 11 o'clock, maybe, I don't know, something like that. I could probably stop now, right now, I could probably stop and still make it. As right from here where I'm at right now, I've still got 623 more miles to go, and I could probably make 623 miles within 11 hours. So, as I say, I'll probably drive at least another hour or so, and then that'll knock it down even further, you know, to maybe around 560 or 570, somewhere in that area. Should be able to make that tomorrow without any problem. So, fairly nice day today. The sun was shining. There's cooler air. It was, I was kind of surprised. There in North Carolina, it was, when I was unloading this afternoon, you know, I would have swore that it, you know, just looking, it looked warmer than it was. But at the actual air temperature there was this afternoon, in the middle, you know, sun was out and everything. Actual air temperature was 39 degrees. So I was sort of shocked that it was that cool there. Now it's right here where I'm at, it's 437. And, you know, so I'm a couple hundred miles away from, or more from where I unloaded at earlier today. So, you know, and just up the road a ways, the temperature was 41. So, but I expect it to kind of get cooler as I go north. And of course, this road I'm on has some different elevations on it. It kind of goes up and down, and so there's that is going to affect things as well. Of course, the story from Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, continues. And so far, the last time I checked, the governor of Wisconsin was standing firm and against the public unions. He's standing firm, and you know, so we'll see what happens. But this has the potential. This is big. If you know, I hope and pray that the Governor Walker of Wisconsin continues to stand firm against these public labor unions and gets everything, you know, basically gets everything he wants. He wants, you know, financial concessions as well as getting rid or reducing the collective bargaining aspect of these unions. Now, the problem with labor unions is the problem that really revolves around any group of people that is based around resentment. And labor unions, obviously, you know, regardless of which ones they are, at their root probably were based around resentment. Now, at one time, there were, many years ago, there were factory owners, so on and so forth, that were absolutely exploiting their workers. The workers resented it. The workers built, you know, made labor unions and so on and so forth. And, you know, so they did serve a purpose at one point, but I think that purpose is long since gone. And so, but you still have these groups that are based around resentment. And there are people like Barack Obama or Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton or any number of, you know, people that have been involved with organizing, so-called community organizing or labor unions. It's basically, it's agitation, community agitation. They're agitating the resentment. Talked about this many times. And it, nothing good can ever come of it, because these people, you know, if they're resentful about their jobs, they're resentful about whatever, and they've got a group of people that just accepts them, loves them for their resentment, basically accepts their resentment, sees resentment as a virtue. And the other problem with that, they're slaves. Their resentment makes them slaves. And so you have, it's particularly egregious when you have labor unions involved with government jobs. So, because it's, they can just keep, continue to agitate and continue to, you know, and if they can get, bully the politicians to kind of give in to their demands, they just keep getting, you know, making demands, bigger and bigger demands, and the demands continue. And so then you end up with teachers in Wisconsin that are making over $100,000 a year, plus free, all these almost free or almost free or almost free benefit packages. You know, almost completely free retirement, as well as almost completely free healthcare insurance, you know, on top of $100,000 plus salary. That's outrageous. So this, we've reached a tipping point now. I've been waiting for this moment to happen for years, and it seems that it may finally be happening, but in any case, what I was just thinking about this, and I realized that any group of people, whether it's if it's a political group or whatever kind of group it is, if it's based on resentment, then that group will turn into a bully, you know. And so that's basically what labor unions are, and that's basically what has always left a bad taste in my mouth with labor unions. And it is the fact that they do turn into bullies. And you can see that. I mean, it's obvious at this point in Wisconsin. It's just painfully obvious that these thugs are kind of getting, you know, they're getting together and they're trying to bully the state, bully the governor, bully the state, and bully the population of the state, the taxpayers of the state, into giving them more money. And, you know, kind of bullying them into it, and or they're trying to, but they're at the point now where there is no more money to give. There is no more money; it's gone. It's you know, for a variety of reasons, we've reached the tipping point, and it's happening in a bunch of other states. And of course, we had this massive Republican sweep in this last November, November 2010 elections. There was a massive Republican sweep in state houses. It was over 700 different offices, you know, variety of different offices that ended up in, you know, kind of ended up in Republican hands, kind of switching over. You know, and it went deep. It was not only in state legislatures, but it, you know, all the way down to, you know, dog catcher. If people were, you know, if there was a Republican dog catcher and a Democrat dog catcher, the Republican dog catcher probably won, because people were, you know, there was this massive overreach by the Democrat Party, you know, of course, with the this Obamacare thing, and people. Plainly, it was obvious people did not want it, and they were buying votes, they were buying off states, they were doing whatever they could to, you know, pass it in the middle of the night, coming up with strange rules, violating their own rules, etc., to pass the thing. Just ram it down our throats. You're going to get it anyway. And that created the massive backlash, and now all these Republicans have gone, you know, they've gotten in office, they're going to work, and they're starting to fix the problem. And so it's causing the labor unions to really, and in conjunction with the Democrats, to really show who they are. You know, they're just a bunch of bullies, and they're you know, union thugs, and so on and so forth, and they just want their money to continue, want the gravy train to continue. They've got these cushy jobs, and they don't have to do much work in order to keep them. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, how this all plays out. And it makes me wonder, really, what you know, if the governor of Wisconsin really stands up to these unions. That's going to really cause, if he stands up successfully, that is really going to cause, it's going to set a precedent, and it's going to, psychologically, it's going to break the unions, and it's really important. So that's why I hope and pray that he's able to kind of continue and kind of remain firm, and also not, you know, also be as calm as possible, calm and steady. And so far from what I've heard, you know, when they've interviewed this governor on different television shows, he sounds just as unmoved as ever. He's just calm, perfectly calm, and he's just saying, hey, we're out of money, this has to happen, you got to fix it now, we can't kick the can down the road anymore. It has to happen now, and now, you know, so we're just going to follow it all the way through, not a problem. And you know, so this is huge, this is big, and it's, as I say, it's been in the works for a long, long time. It's been one of these things that I've had a bad taste in my mouth for labor unions for a long time, and now it's really obvious to a lot of other people as to what is wrong with labor unions. What is, you know, and what is wrong with labor unions is really what's wrong with the human race. But in the case of labor unions, you have groups of people that are just based completely around resentment, and they're completely unapologetic. They're completely, they see nothing wrong with it. They see their resentment as a virtue. And that's a real problem. You know, people that have resentment, you know, they see resentment as a virtue, end up seeing the world backwards. Right is wrong and wrong is right. And they, you know, they see public money, they see taxpayers' money as their own. It's just they're entitled to it. And they'll bully or whatever they have to do in order to try to keep it. But at this point, it's, you know, an incredibly interesting thing that's happening, and it's going to be happening in more than simply Wisconsin. It's going to be in Indiana, it's going to be in Ohio, it's probably going to be in Minnesota, it's going to end up in a lot playing, the same thing's going to end up playing out in other states. And it's about time that it did. This has been going on for far too long. The same scenario needs to happen in the federal government. Now, that's obviously going to take, you know, that's going to take more, you know, because the federal government is massive, and it, you know, it, there's just a mass, it's a massive mess. But you got to start somewhere, and starting, you know, with state governments is probably really where it has to take place.
Okay, I have now stopped, I guess I stopped, I don't know, probably about, a little over an hour ago. I was going to stop at, you know, along the West Virginia Turnpike, there's a, this service plaza, it's called Tamarack, or whatever the name of it is, and so it's a big service, pretty good sized place, or at least it has lots of truck parking, but, the place was full. I mean, it was just jammed with trucks. Every parking spot was taken, and plus then some. They were just kind of parked in crazy places. So that was kind of a waste of time stopping there. But so in any case, I came on up about 10 miles, and there's I was able to park along the side just past a toll plaza. And I've done that a few times in the past, and so fortunately there was already another truck here, but there was a place to park behind it along the edge just after the toll plaza, and so that's where I've parked at, and that's where I'm going to be spending the night at. Service plaza, as I've stopped there a bunch of times and spent the night, and there have been times where I've pulled in there, and usually I've been able to find a place to park, but there's been a couple of times I've pulled in there and it's just completely jammed. And so there's I guess it just, maybe it depends on the night, what night you're stopping there or whatever. So, but in any case, I did find a place to park. I guess it's about 40 miles probably 40 miles south of Charleston, and I still have about 580 miles or something like that to drive Wednesday. Before I go on and forget about it, like I did in yesterday's podcast, I want to mention Peikoff.com. Leonard Peikoff was friends with Ayn Rand for a little over 30 years, and he became an expert in her philosophy of objectivism, the philosophy that she developed. And so if you go to peikoff.com, or you can just look up P-E-I-K-O-F-F in iTunes, and you can find his podcast. But at peikoff.com, he's got a shorter form of his podcast. He's got, he takes questions, so you can email him questions from his website. And, kind of like practical, everyday questions, and then he gives advice or answers those questions based on the philosophy of objectivism. And so that's at peikoff.com, P-E-I-K-O-F-F.com. So, after I stopped here, I took a look at what was going on in the world news, and I don't know, it's kind of bizarre, it's crazy. I mean, there's some really serious stuff that's taking place, there really is, and it's not good. The stuff that's happening is not good. It took a while for the world to kind of unravel after Bush was gone and Obama came in. It takes a little while for things to kind of unravel, but at this point, it's really unraveling, and the world is facing some very serious problems. The Middle East is just really, all across the Middle East and countries across the Middle East, there's all this unrest, and that's very serious, because that's where a lot of the world is getting it. You know, the world's getting a lot of its oil, and that's all kind of coming unraveled. And the price of oil is just jumping. And and then in the meantime, we've been printing money like crazy. The Europeans have been printing money like crazy, and that is coming home to roost as well in the form of inflation. And by the way, that's what's causing a lot of the I believe is causing a lot of the unrest that's happening, particularly in a lot of Arab countries and elsewhere, is the price of food is going up for a lot of, if the price of food goes up for me, well, I might complain about it. I'm paying $7 or $8 at McDonald's to get a McDonald's meal, whereas it didn't used to be that expensive. But somebody that lives, in real poverty, which we in the United States have no idea what real poverty is, and somebody just works, they work and they're barely able to eat, well, then the price of food jumps, takes a big jump, and then all of a sudden they're starving, or they're threatened with starvation. And so that's really, I think, in large part, what's behind all of this unrest that's happening all over the place. And so in the meantime, and of course in the United States, we've had these idiots that, we'll make gasoline out of corn. We're going to grow corn and turn it into gasoline. And then of course that ended up causing the price of food to go up. You have people that are threatened with starvation, and here we are, we can't burn that evil oil, we're going to burn corn, we'll turn it into gasoline, and then that makes the price of food go up. Really smart, from the compassionate left. The architects of so-called compassion. They're brain dead. But there are some serious problems that are going on. There really are. And you think, oh, well, it's just going to all get better or whatever. It's going to get worse. As long as there's no leadership, as long as we have this idiot in the White House and idiots in Congress. You know, but now it's primarily idiot in the White House that's kind of running everything. We're in trouble. No leadership. Weak United States. Falling apart, printing money. It's outrageous. You know, and in the meantime, I saw this article headline, San Francisco may vote to ban circumcision. That's a real concern. Ban circumcision, right, whatever. It shows you where their heads are at. No pun intended. So, I don't know, but I do believe... that it's going to get, it's bad and it's going to get worse. It's bad for a lot of people already. And I think it's going to get worse. I really do think it's going to get worse. So, how do you survive it? You know, because there's a lot of people that are, you know, they're just kind of, if you're in an emotional state and things begin to get bad, you're in trouble. And, of course, there's a lot of people that are emotional. And it's not a matter of, well, I'm not going to be emotional. You can't choose not to be emotional. It's not your choice. It's not something you can choose to do. You know, maybe you can numb yourself out with drugs. Of course, a lot of people do that. You can try to numb yourself out. That doesn't really solve the problem either. You just kind of maybe kills your awareness of it. It doesn't solve anything. The problem grows worse. But you know, you can't simply say, oh, I'm not going to be emotional. It's not going to bother. I'm not going to let it bother me. Oh, yeah, well, you have no say. You're a slave. You don't have a say. The only way that you can, you know, that I believe that the people that will be able to really survive and even thrive during this time and what's likely to come is to be able to rely on their own common sense. And if you're caught up in your emotions, good luck. You can't do it. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to make the wrong choices. And there's no real formula that you can follow, some program formula that's going to guarantee that you're going to be able to survive, or that you're going to be able to at least have some semblance of peace with what's happening. So what's the solution? Well, I mentioned it once in a while. I've got this, I do have a meditation on my website. It's in the form, there's actually three parts. It's an audio file, MP3 audio file. Just up, you go to truckertompodcast.com. Up near the top, you'll see a link that says meditation. You can click on that. There are three different files. You can right click on and download to your computer, burn them to CD, or just, you know, listen to them on your computer. They're by Roy Masters, Foundation of Human Understanding, and those work. They will work. However, in the meantime, he's come up with it's innovative. I think it's better. A better version of his own meditation. And it's very simple, and it's something that is immediately effective. You know, and this meditation does not work for everybody, but it will work for most people. You know, so I'm going to just kind of go through this. Every once in a while I go through it, and it's worth doing. And if you can, as long as you're not driving, I would suggest you, if you can, just sit in a chair, get a straight back chair, And if you can, just kind of let your right hand just kind of dangle down by your side. Close your eyes. Now, I'm doing this right now as I talk to you, holding the microphone with my left hand, sitting on the edge of my bunk. Now, I'm not on a, you know, I don't have a straight back chair, so I'm just kind of sitting on the edge of my bunk, but I'm sitting up straight. And my right hand is hanging down by my side, eyes closed. And so close your eyes and look at the inside of your eyelids. Just look at the inside of your, just look at the inside of your eyelids. And if you can kind of really, you know, pay attention to that, you'll see that it almost looks like static, you know, like static on an analog TV, you know, the TV, it's analog TV that's tuned to an empty channel, you know, where you just get it's like white noise, pink noise, but it's the video version of pink noise. It's just like, you know, you see little pixels, you know, kind of changing. And if you look at the inside of your eyelids and you kind of pay attention to that, you'll see those. They're there. It's sort of like, you know, I came up with this term, visual tingling. So, you know, as you're, you know, you're looking at those little, you know, the whatever, you know, the like the white noise, the visual white noise. You're looking at the whatever they are. You know, you see these little, you know, they're, you could say that they're kind of little, sometimes they're little colored, little flecks of light. You know, in fact, when you close your eyes, your whole forehead tends to light up. But as you're doing, as you're watching that, as you know, and you know, you see those, you know, the little flecks of light or whatever they are, then become aware of your hand dangling, you know, at the same time, become aware of your hand dangling down by your side. And you'll find that if you pay attention to your first finger on your right hand, and you just kind of gently become aware of that finger, nothing forced, just become aware of it, you'll find that it tingles. And so, in a way, it's like you're taking that sort of visual tingling, you know, the visual, you know, the white noise that you see when you look at the inside of your eyelids. It's as if you can take that and kind of translate that into when you become aware of your hand, you become aware of your index finger on your right hand. That same tingling, you become aware of it. So now shift your attention to your middle finger. Become aware of it. It will also tingle. Shift it to the next finger. That and make that tingle. And then to your little finger. And make that tingle, and then start over. Start with your thumb. Become aware of the thumb on your right hand until it tingles. At the same time, you're looking at the inside of your eyelids, and you see that tingle, the sort of the visual tingling, and then shift your attention to your first finger and your second finger. And the third finger, fourth finger, and continue on with that. You know, continue it for several minutes. You know, it's a good idea to if you want to, you can just do this at any time during the day, even if it's just for a few minutes. just for a couple of minutes or a minute. Just long enough, you close your eyes and look at the inside of your eyelids. Now, if you think about this, this is something, you know, looking at the inside of your eyelids, or becoming aware of your hand, or becoming aware of your fingers until they tingle. Just gently, gentle awareness until they tingle. That's something a monkey cannot do. It can't do it. A monkey cannot look at the inside of its eyelids and see the and be aware of the static. Be aware of the sort of visual tingling. Can't do it. And that's one of the differences. It's a big difference between you and a monkey. There isn't much difference in the DNA. 97% of the monkey DNA is the same as ours. 97%, I believe. 97% is human DNA. From difference between monkey DNA. So what sets us apart? This is one of the things that sets us apart. We have whatever it is we have a soul. Which is a soul is essentially it's just a, you know in one of the, in one respect a soul is sort of a special type of awareness. It's a soul is able to be aware of its creator. Monkey can't do that. Nor can any other creature. Besides, you know, only human beings can do that. And perhaps not every human being can do that. That's why, you know, this meditation will work for most people. I think it will work for the majority of people. It won't work for everybody. But it will work for most people. Especially if, you know, people that are troubled and people that aren't, that there's just something not right about the way we live. If you have a dissatisfaction with the way we live, then you're not one of those people that's just happy kind of tearing things down, sort of being a parasite and tearing things down, tearing other people down. That's their only happiness. I can't live that way. And chances are, if you enjoy listening to me, you can't live that way either. But this meditation, simply practice it before you go to sleep. You know, when I lay down to go when I lay down at night to go to bed, you know, I turn the light off. That's the first thing I do is. Start meditating with this, you know, and especially, you know, this new version that Roy Masters came up with. It's so simple but incredibly effective. Look at the inside of your eyelids. At the same time, you're aware of your fingers. Aware of your hand, aware of your, you know, and shifting your fingers from one, you know, your attention from one finger to the next. You know, and this may seem like it's, well, what's this? I mean, it's just a simple meditation. What it does, one of the things it does, it helps to pull you out of your thoughts. Because a typical person is kind of caught in a squirrel cage of thoughts and thoughts and emotions, and you know, and they lead nowhere. The fact of the matter is, you are not your thoughts. I am not my thoughts. Whatever I am not my thoughts. And so, becoming aware of this visual tingling, becoming aware of the tingling in your hand or the tingling in your fingers, as you gently become aware, literally pulls you out of your thoughts. It kind of pulls you out of your thoughts. And that's where God is. God is only in the moment. God is in the moment, then right now. He's not in the future. He's not in the past. He's in the moment right now. And as long as we're caught up in our thoughts, we're separated from the identity that comes from our Creator. This moment right now is all that is all that exists, is all that ever will exist, is right now. The past is gone, future doesn't exist yet. Both are sort of, you know, kind of fantasies. But this meditation may seem simple, and it is. But it also, if you'll practice it, you know, before you go to sleep at night, if you want to during the day, and certainly, you know, when you get up of a morning, you know, spend a few minutes with it. And if you're consistent with it over time, you know, it has a profound effect just one time. But if you're consistent with it over time, it, you know, and you may not even realize it, it's almost like I've become immune to a lot of the stuff that goes on, and it, you know, I hear this stuff, and it, you know, I still recognize, hey, there are problems, but, and I still have my own problems, but it's like I don't feel affected by them. I don't feel moved by the problems. It's as if the problems just kind of, they're there. You know, it's almost like, you know, there's ocean waves, and like I'm standing in the ocean wave, and it's just kind of maybe passing around me, but it's not affecting me somehow. It's sort of a paradox. So, but anyway. Let's see here. How long have I been going? Need to be getting headed to bed here. Let's see here. There we go. Well, we've been going about 43 minutes. Yeah, I probably better cut this off. I've got other stuff that I could play, but, well, I tell you what. Scott Mitchell, scottpodcast.com, sent me this video, and this guy from Wisconsin, you know, he claims to not be a union member in the video, and, you know, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, anybody can make representations, so we can take him on his word, but he says he has a simple solution. So I'm going to play this. This is about 2 minutes 24 seconds, this video, and you know, I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to comment on it afterwards.
Hi there. According to Wisconsin Governor Walker, the state is short $137 million in the current fiscal year. I have a simple solution to the budget crisis. Each adult pays $32. What? Is this for real? Is that all it takes? My Wisconsin teachers always taught me to show my work. The deficit's $137 million. The Wisconsin adult population in 2009 was 4,300-some-thousand. I got that from the total population of 5 million times 76.8% adults. So when you take $137 million that we're short, and you divide that by each adult in the state, 4 million, you get $32. I would be happy to pay $32 to get through this crisis. And I'll even pay an extra $32 for someone who can't. This is a statewide problem. Let's all share in the solution. Governor Walker's solution to this problem is over 140 pages long, with many policy changes unrelated to the budget. The biggest policy change is to greatly weaken unions. Now, I'm not a member of a union. I never have been, but I know they've helped our state tremendously. Just one example. They help bring us great schools. Consider this fact. Only 5 states in the country don't have collective bargaining rights for educators. Those states and their rankings on the ACT-SAT scores are South Carolina, 50th, North Carolina, 49th, Georgia, 48th, Texas, 47th, and Virginia, 44th. By the way, Wisconsin is number 2, and as a lifelong resident, I can say we have many great schools here. Wisconsin unions are also credited for bringing the nation the 40-hour work week, unemployment compensation, and workers' comp in case you get hurt on the job. We take these things for granted now, but we could easily lose them without collective bargaining. Please contact your state representatives and Governor Walker and let them know that you're unhappy with their complicated 140-page solution to a relatively small problem with a simple solution. And please help spread this message. Thanks for watching.
Okay, so he wants everybody to sacrifice. Can you imagine if you had if this guy was your dad? You know, this guy sounds like Mr. Milquetoast. He sounds like kind of almost borderline effeminate. You know, he's namby-pamby. Everybody get along. Well, I'm sorry. But it's time to just say no. No more money. I don't care if it's $32. He tried to make it seem like it, you know, it's not that big of a thing. Just $32. Everybody pay $30. Every adult in Wisconsin pay $32 and everything will be hunky-dory. And all the union people can just keep on raping the taxpayers. It's got to stop. And we've reached a tipping point. It is going to stop. Come hell or high water, it's going to stop. The unions, particularly the public unions, need to be destroyed. Government workers have no business being in any kind of labor union. You know, and then the thing he said about how wonderful the Wisconsin schools union taught schools are. I've got an article here. 2/3 of Wisconsin public school 8th graders can't read proficiently, despite highest per pupil spending in the Midwest. 2/3 of the 8th graders in Wisconsin public schools cannot read proficiently, according to the U.S. Department of Education, despite the fact that Wisconsin spends more per pupil in its public schools than any other state in the Midwest. In the National Assessment of Educational Progress Tests administered by the U.S. Department of Education in 2009, the latest year available, only 32% of Wisconsin public school 8th graders earned a proficient rating, while another 2% earned an advanced rating. The other 66% of Wisconsin public school 8th graders earned ratings below proficient, including 44% who earned a rating of basic and 22% who earned a rating of below basic. So there you go. There's the truth. The lazy, overpaid, unionized, thug, parasitic school teachers are not doing a very good job. They don't have to do much work, and they're getting paid statewide like $89,000 plus per year. Plus, they're getting, you know, really cushy retirements and cushy healthcare programs. While the average taxpayer income went down, a lot of people have got, you know, they're out of work. And so in the meantime, the teachers aren't even halfway teaching the kids. They're just, it's ridiculous. This goes on. The tests also showed that the reading abilities of Wisconsin public school eighth graders had not improved at all between 1998 and 2009, despite a significant inflation-adjusted increase in the amount of money Wisconsin public schools spent per pupil each year. In 1998, according to the U.S. Department of Education, Wisconsin public school eighth graders scored an average of 266 out of 500 on the NAEP reading test. In 2009, Wisconsin public school eighth graders once again scored an average of 266 out of 500 on the NAEP reading test. Meanwhile, Wisconsin public schools increased their per pupil expenditures from $4,956 per pupil in 1998 to $10,791 per pupil in 2008. And most of that's going to these lazy teachers that are protesting, and then they're getting these fake doctor's notes, fraud. They're committing fraud in order to, so they can collect their money. They need the note so that they can, oh, I was sick. That's why I was off. I was sick during the protest. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics inflation calculator, the $4,956 Wisconsin spent per pupil in 1998 dollars equals $6,546 in 2008 dollars. That means that from 1998 to 2008, Wisconsin public schools increased their per pupil spending by $4,245 in real terms, yet did not add a single point to the reading scores of their eighth graders and still could lift only one-third of their 8th graders to at least a proficient level in reading. The $10,791 that Wisconsin spent per pupil in its public elementary and secondary schools in fiscal year 2008 was more than any other state in the Midwest. Neighboring Illinois spent $10,353 per student in 2008. Minnesota spent $10,048 per student. Iowa spent $9,520 per student. Among Midwest states, Nebraska was second to Wisconsin in their per pupil spending in its public schools, spending $10,565 per student. Of these nearby states, only Minnesota did slightly better, teaching reading to its public schools. In 2009, 39% of 8th graders in Minnesota public schools earned a rating of proficient or better in reading, and the average 8th grade reading score in the state was 270 out of 500. In Illinois, only 32% of 8th graders earned a rating of proficient or better in reading, and the average 8th grade reading score was 265 out of 500. In Iowa, only 32% of 8th graders earned a rating of proficient or better in reading, and the average reading score was 265 out of 500. In Nebraska, only 35% of 8th graders earned a rating of proficient or better in their public schools, and their average reading score was 267 out of 500. Nationwide, only 30% of public school 8th graders earned a rating of proficient or better in reading, and the average reading score on the NAEP test was 262 out of 500. The National Assessment of Educational Progress explains its student rating system as follows. Basic denotes partial mastery of prerequisite knowledge and skills that are fundamental for proficient work at each grade. Proficient represents solid academic performance. Students reaching this level have demonstrated competency over challenging subject matter. Advanced represents superior performance. In other words, despite the $10,791 that taxpayers were paying to educate students in Wisconsin public schools, two-thirds of eighth graders in those schools showed at best only a partial mastery of prerequisite knowledge and skills that are fundamental for proficient work at that grade level. In fiscal 2008, the federal government provided $669.6 million in subsidies to the public schools in Wisconsin, and it all went to these lazy-ass union parasites. That's all they are. They're parasites. It's outrageous. And now they're whining and moaning and groaning, wanting, you know, demanding, bullying, trying to bully the public into continuing to pay. It's ridiculous. And they do it on purpose. It's done on purpose. They're thumbing their noses at the public. So, anyway, you know, I thought I'd go ahead and play that and then comment on it. But that's, this guy, he just wants to give in and, you know, not rock the boat. Well, sorry, it's time to rock the boat. It has to stop. The money's gone. You know, people are, it's ridiculous. These people are making twice as much as people are, you know, the people that are paying their salaries. These union parasites are making twice as much or more than the people that are paying their, you know, the taxpayers or that are, you know, the general taxpayer, provided that they're still employed. It's time to bring this to an end. So, Anyhow, probably better, I need to cut this off, get headed to bed. Hope everyone is having a great week so far. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.